From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what's going on, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We're taking your calls throughout this entire hour, as we do each and every weekday here on the show. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. A ton to talk about, folks, including, we want to switch today's show up a little bit. Now, normally, we do our special segments like, Pick 'em Monday, Top 5 Tuesday, Barbershop Wednesday. We usually reserve those for during the third segment of each show. But we're going to bump this one up for Top 5 Tuesday. Each and every Tuesday, we pick a Top 5 sports topic and give you our list. And today's Top 5 Tuesday is centered on the man who is the most famous person in all of the land of Michigan, Tom Izzo. Yes, Tom Izzo, folks. Tom Izzo. The head men's basketball coach for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Well, I tell you what, the talks are in the air once again for Izzo to possibly make that leap from college basketball, coaching college basketball, to the ranks of that of the NBA. Now, we all have different views on this thing today. Is Matt thinks that Tom Izzo should stay. Alex thinks that it shouldn't matter. And I kind of weigh the other way, saying that Tom Izzo should make the leap. I'll give you my reasons in just a sec. Okay, so after we do our quick hit headliners, we're going to dive into that subject. And, this really came to light once again due to the fact that Minnesota Timberwolves coach, who is a legend in the business, a legend in the world of coaching, Rick Adelman, he decided to hang it up and say, hey, I'm done coaching. He's retiring. So now there is a coaching vacancy in the Minnesota Timberwolves office. Now, the president of the Minnesota Timberwolves happens to be a very, very close friend of Tom Izzo's, Flip Saunders. And Flip became very close with head coach Tom Izzo during his time, if you remember, as he coached the Detroit Pistons. Remember Flip when he coached the Pistons? How can you forget that, right? Well, they've had so many coaches. Sometimes it's hard to forget. This is very interesting because with them being good friends, and, Flip has came right out and said, hey, he's definitely on our list along with a few other coaches. And, it begs the question, because the situation in Minnesota is not like that of when we brought up this discussion a few weeks ago, like that of the Detroit Pistons, where the Pistons can't even get fans to come out to the arena to watch the squad. Minnesota, if they would have, with the record they had, 40-42, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they would have made the playoffs. This is not a bad team, and not a bad situation if Tom decided to make this leap. So we'll give you our thoughts on it, and we want to get yours. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Later on in the hour, you'll also get to hear an interview with Joe White of iSports Web. He is the iSports Web founder. And iSports Web, a very, very interesting website. And Joe, it does a great job with the website. We're going to talk a little MLB with him later on in the show. And also the Wings and Bruins getting on tonight, baby. Yes, Game 3 in the tied series, 1-1. The series now shifts to Detroit. We'll give you a preview of that and so much more. Again, that number to call is 517-355-9527. All right, well, let's dive right into the show. Again, tons to talk about. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 22nd, 2014. Well, more news concerning the MSU men's basketball team. They are reportedly interested in Byron Wesley of Southern Cal, who scored 17.8 points per game last season, who will reportedly graduate this spring, allowing him to go elsewhere and play right away under the graduate transfer rule. Now, Yahoo Sports reported that MSU and many others, including Indiana, Gonzaga, and Baylor, are showing interest in the 6'5" Wesley. And MSU, Rutgers, and others are also looking at a 6'6" sophomore shooting guard by the name of Charles Cook of James Madison. Now, if you remember, MSU took advantage of that graduate transfer rule back in 2011-2012, getting 8.8 points a game from Valparaiso transfer Brandon Wood. for a team that won a share of the Big Ten and advanced to the Sweet 16. Now, Izzo said in March that he is open to the possibility of a transfer. But will Izzo be along long enough to possibly induce this transfer? That's because, as we said at the top of the hour, Minnesota Timberwolves coach Rick Adelman decided to retire after 23 seasons in the NBA. Speculation started last week about Michigan State coach Tom Izzo possibly being a candidate to replace Adelman and is expected to intensify now. Now, Izzo, again, he's close friends with Timberwolves president and former Detroit Pistons coach Flip Saunders. Very, very close. Good friends there. And, you know, both ESPN's Jeff Goodman and CBS's Gary Parrish, they tweeted this morning that they expected Izzo to be a strong candidate for the job. And, you know, just looking at some of Izzo's quotes over the past few weeks and even months, I mean, he would not turn down talks, you know, conversations with the notion of possibly making that leap. But will he do it is the question. And, again, that's our Top 5 Tuesday for today. Should Tom Izzo leave? Should he stay? 517-355-9527. And hopefully after today we don't have to talk about this anymore. I feel like we've been talking about this for the past 2 weeks. All right, MSU, this is a pretty interesting story. The MSU Men's Handball Club, folks, the Handball Club, they took first place while the women's team finished second at the National Collegiate Handball Division II Championships recently. How about that? That's pretty cool stuff there. Handball. I know nothing about handball, but the fact that MSU got that far in the Division II National Championships, that's remarkable. Now, MSU senior Connor Peterson, he finished second in the men's singles, and Spartan coach Carl Valentino, he was named National Coach of the Year. We're going to try to get Carl and both Connor on the show very, very soon to talk about this remarkable accomplishment. And the MSU men and women finished second to Pacific in the combined results. So that is pretty cool stuff. Again, the MSU Men's Handball Club, they took first place. The women's team, they finished second. That is impressive stuff. Again, we're definitely going to talk about that more in the coming weeks and try to get Connor Peterson and Spartan coach Carl Valentino on the show to talk about that remarkable accomplishment. That's cool stuff. I always love when I get to talk about sports that, you know, aren't in the spotlight all the time, and handball is certainly one of those. And Lansing looking at his pitcher, Kendall Graveman, he was named Midwest League Pitcher of the Week yesterday. Pretty cool stuff there. Graveman took the honors after nearly throwing a no-hitter last Friday, taking a hitless bid into the ninth inning and finishing with one walk and one hit in 8 1/3 innings, striking out 7 batters in the process. Graveman was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays last year and is 1-0 with a .44 ERA with 18 strikeouts this season. So congrats to Kendall. And after 6 scoreless innings, the White Sox, they broke through against Annabelle Sanchez in the 7th and scored 3 runs en route to a 3-1 victory over the Detroit Tigers. Jose Abreu's ground rule double held up after a challenge from Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, and the White Sox also benefited from umpire review on an out call at home plate, as Diane Vicidio was eventually ruled safe for another Chicago run. Now, Detroit threatened in the ninth, but Rajai Davis's fly ball didn't have enough on it to save the Tigers. Now, the Tigers will send JV Justin Verlander to the mound today to face off against Charlie Lesman, who's filling in for the injured Chris Sale. And Alex was a little perturbed about that one because I believe Chris is on his fantasy baseball team. All right, and the Lugnuts, still news from the Lugnuts. Mitch Nay continued his 11-game hitting streak, going 2-for-3 with a triple and 3 RBIs to propel the Lugnuts to a 7-6 win over the Lake County Captains last night. Now, Nay drove in the go-ahead run with a 7th-inning sac fly. And Roberto Espisano, his 5 Ks in 2 2/3 innings, led the way as the bullpen shut the door. And the Lugnuts and the Captains, they are in action tonight. Back in action tonight for game 2 of the 4-game series. I will actually be out there for tonight's game. And hopefully the Lugnuts can continue to capitalize and keep this momentum going, because they were certainly, before that win last night, they were certainly struggling, to say the least. So we'll see what happens tonight. And also game 3 of the Bruins and Red Wings series is tonight at DeJoe with a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. The Wings, they took home ice advantage back by stealing game 1 at Boston. The Bruins came back the second game and beat the Wings 3-1 on Sunday. So we're looking at a 1-1 series tie. Series now shifts again at Joe Louis Arena in the D, 7:30 p.m. We'll see if the Wings can capitalize and try to get a game ahead on the powerful Boston Bruins. That's going to be a very good game tonight. And, you know, this is a really, really touching story here. Of course, the Boston Marathon, there was plenty of pride from the marathon in Boston as two Americans came out on top of the day. The men's elite winner, Meb Kiflizagani of the USA, and the women's elite winner, who has really racked up wins year after year after year, Rita Jepto. She won once again, and the men's wheelchair winner was Ernest Van Dyke, and the woman's wheelchair winner was Tatiana McFadden. So congrats to all of them, an emotional time to say the least, in lieu of what happened last year during the Boston Marathon, the Boston bombings, of course. There was a lot of pride, though, during that day yesterday, and it was a really, really cool event to see if you checked it out on TV or if you happened to be there. So congrats to the winners, and congrats to just those in Boston that really represented that. No matter what tragedy happens, okay, you keep your head up and you come back stronger, even stronger next year in the future moving forward. So Boston strong, baby. Great, great marathon yesterday, and congrats to the winners. And the Detroit Lions, let's wrap this up. The Detroit Lions have signed free agent cornerbacks Aaron Hester and Nate Ness. Have no idea who those two guys are, but hey, they need some help in the secondary, and they're getting it from those two. Hester spent time with the Denver Broncos last season. He was signed by the Broncos as an undrafted rookie free agent back in 2013, but has not played in an NFL game. That's why we haven't heard of his name. And the 27-year-old Ness last played in the NFL with the St. Louis Rams way back in 2011. He also played for the Miami Dolphins and Seattle Seahawks in 2010, starting one game for Seattle. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and share anything that's on your mind. And you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And we're going to ask you to call in and weigh in right now on the future of Tom Izzo. Of course, reports have now speculated once again. They've been doing that for quite some time now when it concerns Tom Izzo possibly making a leap from college basketball to the NBA. And, you know, Alex and I, we went out to lunch yesterday to Subway, and I'm sitting in the Subway line and look at my phone, and boom, right then and there, you get a Score Center update saying that Tom Izzo is on Minnesota's wish list for upcoming coaches.
Not
Alex and Matt, well,
not
first
just
of
that,
all,
he was intrigued. It says that Izzo was intrigued.
Yeah, he was intrigued, which he is. I mean, I'll break it down in just a sec. But yeah, we want you to weigh in on this, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now, guys, before we debate about this thing. How you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good. Is this Dave?
This is Dave.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm all right, man. As long as we have a program the way that we have and a coach that is as dynamic as Coach Izzo is, year in and year out, his name will be mentioned. I personally just don't believe that Coach Izzo would want to make that leap to the NBA unless he would have total control. By that, I mean he will be able to assemble his own talent. Now, does he know the economics and the caps and all of that? Well, he would have to have a cap guru. But I believe he would want to assemble or have the power to assemble his own talent. And that will constitute, let's say, $7 million a year. He is a staple in the college coaching basketball, along with Coach Krzyzewski and Coach at North Carolina and those alike. I don't believe that he would even want to leave the football program. And not that, you know, because he has influence, in my opinion, over, you know, the football program here at Michigan State. He is very important to the football program. What I see Coach doing after he is done coaching basketball, is moving to an AD position at the university. Not saying that I want to move Hollis out, But I'm just saying, I can see Alex being president and Coach Izzo being the AD. I just don't think the stress, the grind of an 82-game season and beyond would be conducive to Coach Izzo. He is intense. I mean, 30 games is enough for him.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I think his family is well-rooted here. Yes, that would be a challenge, and as an individual, we all look for challenges. But let's face it, Coach is how old? You know, he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's no spring chicken, yeah.
He's no spring chicken, man. He's, you know, this is his home. This is what he's built. He wants to be here to be able to say, hey, I'm done. I'm handing the mantle over to whomever, and I'm moving on into my latter years. That's my opinion. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave, for the call. Great points made there. Again, if you want to call in just like Dave did and weigh in whether or not Tom Izzo should stay here at Michigan State or make his move to the NBA and try his hands at an NBA team and see what the kind of success that he has, call in right now. We're taking your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You just heard Alex's voice. Man, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. How are you, Al?
Good, man. Just potty training. I'm losing my mind. For those who don't know, I just bought a new dog. She's a Morkie Maltese Yorkie mix. I swear, man, I cleaned my carpet about six times. No, more than six times. It had to be way more than six times yesterday. But she's learning. She's getting there. She's only a pup, so she's 4 months. So I couldn't go too in on her. You know what I mean?
There's going to be a lot of that for a little while.
Yeah. I bought your stuff, too. Was it Nature's
Miracle.
Nature's Miracle. That is certainly a miracle. Yes. All right. Enough about my dog. Let's continue this conversation about Tom Izzo now. Again, Tom Izzo. All right, guys. Well, we all have different views today on this thing. For me, and this is the question I'm posing with this Top 5 Tuesday. Again, folks, whether or not Tom Izzo should leave or should he stay? Alex has a kind of in-between view on it here. I'll kick it off. For me, if I'm Tom Izzo, guys, first off, when you look at the situation in the NBA, if I'm going to – because Tom Izzo, let's be honest here. Tom Izzo, his name is praised around here in mid-Michigan. I mean, he is treated like royalty, and deservingly so. I mean, to see where he has this program on a national stage and the national persona that Michigan State has. I mean, I remember I was in college, man, and I would go – you know, on trips on spring break and be rocking a Michigan State shirt. I mean, I would be walking around. People would stop me and say, oh, you go to Michigan State? And immediately say, Tom Izzo's the man. You know what I mean? He is known. When you think about Michigan State nationally, you think of Izzo. And the way that he is treated here, he's one of the highest paid collegiate coaches here in the entire nation. He's treated like royalty here. So it's easy, especially with Tom Izzo being 59 years old here. It's easy for Tom to be comfortable here and say, hey, I've already made my bed here. It's already laid. I've won a national championship, and I'll continue to be here until I retire. Now, for me, guys, if I am Tom Izzo, and just, again, I'm not Tom Izzo at all, obviously here, you know, but when looking at the situation, if I had to choose five factors that would sway me to go, these would be it for me. First off, I want to talk about the money situation here. Money. Now, granted, Tom Izzo is definitely one of the highest paid collegiate coaches in the entire nation. The key word in that sentence is collegiate. Now, you talk about a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves, for example. Rick Adelman, who is retiring while we're even having this conversation about this. Rick Adelman, a team like Minnesota Timberwolves, yeah, they have a pretty good basketball, well, actually a very talented basketball team, which I get to in a minute. A very talented basketball team, a coach like Rick Adelman, not a high prolific job like a Miami or a LA or a New York, anything like that, those teams like that in the NBA. But still, Adelman was getting paid $5 million last season compared to Tom Izzo's 3.9. So, moolah could be a factor. The second factor here is, again, you just heard Dave, he's no spring chicken, he's 59 years old. The grind of recruiting. And the way that I feel like as though recruiting is a second job in itself. And I always go back to a quote that Tom Izzo had last year when he talked about just the recruiting war. It was around the Jabari Parker phenomenon. I'll never forget, Tom Izzo came out and said, quote, some things in college are very difficult. I don't enjoy wearing so many hats, end quote. I will never forget that quote. Just the grind and the extracurricular things that you have to do to try and sway an 18, 19-year-old to come to your school and to play basketball. The things in the mountains that you have to go through to try and impress them and lure them to your school, again, that's a 9-to-5 in itself. That's a 12-to-12 in itself, okay? No wonder why, if you look at the football team, no wonder why Mark D'Antonio hires Curtis Blackwell just to handle and try to take some of that load off of his back a little bit. I mean, the grind of recruiting is certainly one that's stressful. Tom Izzo doesn't like it. He's gone on record of saying that. And that definitely adds more years to his age, if you ask me. Tom Izzo, this is another aspect to it, guys. My other reason here. Tom Izzo's the guy who, I remember we had Fred Heumann here at Channel 6 News, and he kind of said it as well. Tom Izzo is such a competitive guy. He's so competitive, and he loves to win, and he loves to prove people wrong. And for me, it just seemed as though this season, out of any other season, I feel like, and he even went on record, Tom Izzo went on record to say that this season was the toughest season he's ever had here at Michigan State. I mean, due to multiple reasons, of course, the injuries and whatnot, but it was the toughest. I mean, we'll see sometimes Tom Izzo will come to press conferences, and you could see just a drained look on his face. You know what I mean? Like just going through the motions type of thing. Something I had never seen from Izzo since I've been covering MSU men's basketball. I think for him personally, this would be an invited new challenge for him to try and just rejuvenate that passion, if you will. I mean, to go into the NBA where you have all these critics, even me, I'm saying, you know, Tom Izzo's coaching style, that in-your-face yelling, you know, you know how Tom Izzo is. I mean, turning red on the sidelines. You don't really see that from coaches in the NBA, and I question whether or not he will have that type of success with that type of coaching style at the next level. Tom Izzo loves that challenge, though, and I think that's fueling him. That's in the back of his head, too. Go ahead, Alex.
Did you ever think that the reason you don't have coaches like that is because it just doesn't work?
It doesn't. But Tom Izzo is the type of guy that says, okay, watch it work. You know what I mean? He's that guy that says, Tom Izzo has always been that guy. If you say he's not going to do something, he's going to do it and try to prove you wrong.
But I think he's smart enough to know his limits, and I think he knows that limit in the NBA.
I don't know. Well, for me, as I finish
right,
these points.
You're right. Tom Izzo is the guy that he wants me to challenge. But I think he knows that the peak of this challenge isn't even attainable because of the way the NBA is naturally ran. I think he just knows that there's too much he can't control.
I don't know, man. And that comes with his personality. That's something that he has to weigh personally when he thinks about this decision. I think he's not completely shutting the door on it because if he did, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right, so your top
he's
five
intrigued.
Your top five
no,
reasons.
I got two more here. Okay. And also, Minnesota, like I always said, the situation has to be good, too. You can't just jump into the NBA. We didn't even – we're talking about the Pistons here. When this conversation was brought up about the Detroit Pistons, I immediately shut that down. The Pistons need more help than a coach here. That's an internal personnel issue with the players. I mean, there's so many factors with that. But Minnesota, like I said, is not a bad team. They went 40-42 this year. In the East, they would have been a 7th seed and actually been in the postseason right now. When you look at their roster, you got Kevin Love, one of the best big men in the game. Corey Brewer, who's a great, great forward. Kevin Martin, a solid guard. Shabazz Muhammad, remember him. He can definitely ball. Ricky Rubio, I mean, who's been an all-star before. Ronnie Turioff. I mean, I could go on and on. This roster is loaded and has a lot of potential. That would have Izzo raise his eyebrows, I think. And also, again, I continue to harp on this. Izzo, to me, this season just seemed drained. Like, he had to do too many things. And I just feel as though he needs another challenge to rejuvenate that passion. This could possibly be it.
Al, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to reach down under your bow tie and under your button-down shirt and take off the Timberwolves shirt you're wearing.
Not wearing a Timberwolves shirt.
Because
no,
if you think that the reason that he's going to choose Minnesota over Detroit
is because they have a better situation and team. Hold on, so you're telling me you would choose the Pistons over the Timberwolves if you were choosing the job?
I don't think it has anything to do with who's a better team.
Ask that question. If you're Tom Izzo and looking at, let's say you're going to the NBA, you've made your decision.
Okay.
Would you rather coach the Timberwolves or rather coach the Detroit Pistons?
I can't
be
make
real.
I don't know enough about it, but if I had
stop
to
it.
Make
I just gave you a whole list about the Timberwolves.
There's more than just the players and who's good and who's not. You got to get along with who you're working with. You got to get along with the general manager. You have to get
Flip
along.
Saunders is one of his best friends.
Right, but he's not going to be in Minnesota. With Flip Saunders. Flip Saunders
is the president of the organization.
Right, but he's a former coach. What I'm saying is you have to make sure that you're going to get along with your assistant coaches. There might be already some coaches in place that he has control of.
Alex, you're,
you have to make sure that there's a lot of cap
Your argument
room.
Makes no sense
there's
right now.
There's a lot
now.
Of factors that goes into a
we're
team.
We're getting off subject here. My point was...
You're saying, looking at the team, which team would you choose?
The Timberwolves would be a no-brainer. Why would you go to the Pistons?
Because there's more to a team than just the guy up at the
gym. So you would go to the Pistons?
There's more than the president.
Are you saying that? You're not coming out and saying
it. I might say that you might go to the Pistons.
You're insane in a membrane.
I'll go ahead and say it.
Man,
I'll go ahead and say
that's
it.
Crazy.
I would go to the Pistons.
That's
crazy. You know why? Because they have
me.
Andre Drummond.
Oh, stop.
Do you see the roster,
Matt, that this team has?
No, I've seen the roster, but you know who's not going to be there in a year? Kevin Love. He's out the door.
Kevin Love is not the only factor.
He's had one foot out the door for 3 years.
Exactly. Kevin Love is not the only factor. Corey Brewer
is terrible.
Rookie Rubio. Did you see Ricky Rubio?
Ricky Rubio was one of the worst shooters in the league.
Stop it. Stop. You're killing. Actually, Ricky Rubio is an all-star for this team.
It's not the only factor.
Ricky Rubio is not an all-star.
You are tripping. You guys are tripping.
It's not the only factor, and that's the point.
You would go to the Pistons can't even get two people to come to a game. Come on, guys. You guys are killing me right now.
Okay, the Timberwolves haven't made the playoffs since Kevin Garnett played for them.
Put this team in the East, 7th seed. We're talking about playoffs with the Timberwolves.
That's never going to happen.
Come on, man.
You're talking about restructuring the league. Maybe if Izzo becomes the commissioner of the NBA, he can do that. He'll have those powers. But as the Timberwolves coach, he's not going to be able to change
the conferences. The Pistons don't even have a president right now, Matt. Come on, man.
Oh, boy.
You're killing me. Go ahead. Well, go ahead. Why should he stay, Matt? Go ahead. You had the
opposite. Why should he stay? Okay, so you said he's a competitor. He loves new challenges. Well, I think I would argue he has plenty of challenges at this level. The Final Four streak, the famed Tom Izzo 4-year player Final Four streak is over. It ended last year. Now he has a new set of challenges. Can I bounce back? Can I still compete at the college level? Can I still get back to the mountaintop? Haven't been to a Final Four since 2010. We're going on 5 years. That's never happened under his regime. He's got a new set of challenges here. Can he get back to the top in today's college basketball landscape? You also said the team in Minnesota.
But he's done it before.
He's done it before.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
what you done it before?
But now it's over. Now it's over. The streak is done.
Yeah, but it's like a revolving door.
The streak is done. They were preseason number one last year, and I think that has a factor to do with you saying he was drained.
Right,
I think the
preseason
expectations really, really took a toll on this team, especially paired with the injuries and the struggles. When you go from being the top dog at the beginning of the year to, you know, going 5-5 in a month, it's not going to go lightly for anybody, especially if you are, you know, the end-all, be-all of the program. You also say that Minnesota is a great situation. I already said Kevin Love is gone. He's out the door. People have said that since he signed a 4-year deal, an extension with Minnesota in the first place, because they wanted to keep their 5-year max contract for Ricky Rubio, who is not the player everybody thought he was. He's an okay player. He's not an all-star.
I think Ricky Rubio has the potential to be a unbelievable player in this league.
Not going to happen.
The potential is through the roof. And
he'll be a great passer. He will not be a great player.
I didn't even talk about Pekovic. He was an unbelievable player. They have a stacked roster here, Matt, that has a lot of potential on this team.
How have they not made the playoffs in the last few years?
Well, you're playing in the Western
Conference.
That's
injuries,
the Western Conference for you.
But
that's
the Western Conference. They can't even break 500.
But, Matt, that's the Western Conference for you. That's how it is.
If you're going to say they would be this seed in the East, they got to go 500. They didn't even do that.
Go ahead. All right.
Didn't even do that. Okay, would his style work in the NBA? I don't think it would. Like Alex said, him going crazy on the sidelines in a meaningless game in December is not going to wear well.
Now, I do agree with that. I don't understand that. The Tom Izzo's style, he's going to have to make some adjustments. And I feel as though in any team, you got to make some adjustments.
Not only just his style in terms of, you know, He's going to be doing that. He's going to be yelling at guys who make more money than he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these players, they don't automatically come in with the respect for Tom Izzo that kids in college do, because they're already making 6 and 7 figures. They don't need to worry about what the coach says because they're making more than him. They're probably more secure in their spot than he is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're yelling at Corey Brewer, playing him 10 minutes a game. Corey Brewer might have more say than he does.
Hold on, guys. Because I see the other side of it. As much as some of these NBA players are making more money than the coach, that could contribute to a power-driven factor. What about the other side of it? What about the other side of it in that if you're a player and you're getting more money than a coach, don't you feel like you owe it to perform and help the coach keep his job?
That all depends on the player here. We're grasping at straws.
I would say most players feel like that.
It depends on the player. It depends on the personality of the player. Kobe Bryant is one of those rare breeds who just loves to win. He's going to do what it takes to win. It depends on the personality.
He loves to win, and he also loves to throw his coach under the bus.
We've seen that before. To Alex's point here, we talk about the personality, and if the player is making more than the coach, and you feel as though he owes it to the coach, that's a personality question. Every player is different. Every player conducts himself in a different fashion. Some players owe it to their coach and want to go out and perform because they're a representation of their coach. Some players don't care and want to get their minutes points.
There are a lot of NBA players that come from very impoverished areas, and a lot of them are very blessed to be where they are.
Right, and they're not all the same.
And I guarantee you, Al, that there are many coaches out there that would probably say to some of those players, "Help me feed my kids and make sure that you help me win." And I think that many players, of course it does. But what I'm saying, Al, is that on the other side of what Matt is saying, there are players that probably would perform in the way that they're not throwing their coach. I wouldn't say there's a majority.
That aids to my point anyway. Okay.
I still think you're asking too much for him to come in and have the respect of his players right away. It's not like it is in college. That goes into my next point, his age. He's 59 years old. He would be the third oldest coach in the NBA with absolutely no NBA coaching experience. The only two guys who are older are Mike D'Antoni, who's probably out in L.A., and Greg Popovich in San Antonio. And the reason Greg Popovich has the respect of his organization is because he's been there for almost 20 years. He has a college-like atmosphere in the NBA. That stuff doesn't happen overnight.
Again,
it's not going to happen the minute he walks in the door. What's he going to do, be 78 and finally have the role that he has now at Michigan State?
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. We talk about Michigan State. There's a lot of job security is definitely in play here because that's
number one.
Exactly. Job security, if he stays here at Michigan State, he's going to be making good money. I mean, you can get fat and happy here, and he'll retire as Michigan State's men's basketball coach, and he'll ride into the sunset into the Hall of Fame. We know that. But again, for Tom Izzo, again, this past season drained this man to the point where it seemed as though he just doesn't have the same type of fire and drive to get to that mountaintop once again, to do another grind of a season once again for me.
So he wants to go to an even longer season.
Tom Izzo, I feel as though that's how the greats are. They want a new challenge. You know what I mean? I feel as though Tom Izzo needs a new challenge here because being in college basketball, he's been a part of his MSU program for so long. At some point, I always say, no matter what job you got, I mean, you could have the greatest job in the world, but if you do it over and over, season after season, year after year, at some point, it's got to wear on you, and you got to get bored at some point. Tom Izzo, I feel it might be bored at this point, and it needs a new challenge to try to just rejuvenate him. And I would not, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he will leave. Right now, I would swing to him staying because it looks as though, Tom Izzo, he said, I mean, when the Cavaliers job came along with the whole LeBron James talk, I mean, he went on the record and said, hey, I will retire as Michigan State's men's basketball coach. But now, as you see, he's intrigued by certain jobs, and he wouldn't turn down the conversation of possibly talking about the NBA. That little open door of doubt shows me that Izzo's thinking about it, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did try his hand at
it. But is it confirmed? Is it did Izzo?
No, nothing's confirmed
right here. So
this just talks in the air.
So regardless if he goes or not, here are my reasons why it really wouldn't even matter. How about the football team? 5 years ago, would you say that the football team would be that the fan base would be as strong as it is now with football and basketball? No way. I mean, look at teams like Syracuse, these Big East schools that have great basketball teams and no football. If their head basketball coach quit, boy, their whole athletic department's out the window. But now, for Michigan State football, that's one reason I think that if Izzo even did leave, football's right there now to back it up.
I can see that. I feel as though D'Antonio's done a great job now to the point where the football team can stand on his own 2 feet now.
Right.
I hear that.
How about the school? We have to have confidence in the school. The Izzo, I'm pretty sure that student section would always stay the same. I don't think there's going to be a name change. I mean, look at the Lacey thing. I mean, look how long that's staying, and that's always going to be remembered. I think the same thing with the Izzo, and that student section will always be that strong. And it is one of the biggest Big Ten schools out there, guys, aside from Ohio State. So with the numbers, with the benefits, the facilities, the world-class university that Michigan State reps, to give a little bit of a WKR pitch here, it's going to be Michigan State, the school that's going to really keep it the way it is, and it's not going to matter if he goes. How about the respect? I mean, at the end of the day, no matter if Izzo goes or not, he's always going to be respected by his peers, by many coaches in the league. You think that if he leaves, fans will be hounding, oh, Izzo's betraying Michigan State? Of course not. We're lucky that he's still here at this point.
We are.
And that's,
I agree.
And that's my next point, is that it's amazing he's never left. He's the longest tenured coach in the Big Ten Conference. breaking school records left and right. Most career wins since in 2009 when he broke that record. Head coach of USA basketball? I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. It's amazing he hasn't left already. And number one, he's not screwing over the next coach. He's built a solid recruiting class. He always have. Whoever steps in his shoes, and this may stir up a little bit, but I think that the next coach is going to work hard enough to meet the expectations that Izzo has already laid into ground.
And if Izzo decides to leave, then I feel bad for that next guy. No one wants to be that guy.
Right, but that's why you know that next coach is going to work his tail off into making sure he fills those shoes. So.
Right, right. So, all right, well, we'll see. We'll see. Again, if you want to weigh in on this, 517-355-9527. Great points, my man and Alex. Matt?
I got one more because I didn't get to my number
one. That's right, that's right.
Didn't get to my number
one. Oh, job security.
Yeah. Job security slash his legacy. You know, he says, I'm pleased to say I'm here for life at Michigan State. He said that in 2010 with the Cavs. He said, I've got so much more work to do here. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. This year, after the Pistons' job flirtations, I just think, you know, all the talk about, oh, he's really close with Flip Saunders. You know, Flip Saunders as the GM, is he close enough friends that he's going to sacrifice his job for Izzo to keep his?
Yeah, I think that
goes out the window as soon as things go south. You know, he's still going to have to be a GM first and a friend second. So I think that kind of, and that's really the big reason that his name has even popped up, other than the fact that he's a great coach, is that he has a close relationship with Flip Saunders. I think that's being overplayed a little bit. I don't think that really matters in the grand scheme of things. Really, though, he goes from being the guy having the ultimate job security. He can retire anytime he wants. He's going out on his own terms, barring some terrible scandal in the foreseeable future. Whereas in Minnesota, he is just one cog in the machine. And honestly, he's the most expendable cog. Because like I said, if things go south, Flip Saunders is going to be like, I would rather watch my own back than somebody else's. I'm going to keep my job. We'll fire the coach and get a new one. That happens all the time in the NBA. Mo Cheeks didn't even last a season. He lasted 50 games.
Yeah.
So job security in the NBA is basically non-existent unless you're Greg Popovich. So I think that kind of factor, I mean, his family's comfortable here. Dave took a lot of my points earlier in the show with his call, but it just seems like at this juncture, jumping to the NBA is just a ridiculous task.
I wouldn't call it ridiculous, Matt. I would be very interested to see how Izzo transitions to the NBA, and I think he would have success at the NBA. So we'll see.
He might have some success. I don't know if he's had as much success as he would have here.
Right. Well, yeah. And if you look at it too, I mean, there's been other coaches who have tried to make the leap, like Rick Pitino, Kentucky to the Boston Celtics, of course, didn't make the playoffs. John Calipari has tried to make that move. Tim Floyd, PJ Carlissimo. I mean, we can go on and on here. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what transpires in the next few weeks. And, again, if you want to weigh in on it, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And we have a few comments here on Instagram. I forget about Instagram. We're on Current Sports Instagram as well. B. Gandy4 says, I would say go, but you got to fill his replacement. You have to fill that position with big shoes. Mr. Taki says, Izzo ain't going anywhere. And Christy KP says, don't leave us. So there you have that again. And also, I'm looking over here on Twitter. And let's see here. Why should that? This is from Andre1000 says, quote, why should that slight pay increase be enough to go to the Timberwolves? Quote, I do think Izzo wants to leave on top, and leaving now wouldn't be quite the way to go out. So there you have that. Again, you can weigh in on this, 517-355-9527. Twitter, Al Martin, WKAR, and also Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Don't go anywhere. When you come back, we'll be chatting with Joe White, who is the founder of iSports Web. You do not want to miss that or any rest of the show. We'll be right back. Current Sports Return in just a sec. What's up, good people? Welcome back to Current Sports. We remind you all that tomorrow, we record Current Sports TV. That's right. I'll be sitting down with now retired editor of the MSU Alumni Magazine, Bob Bayo. He was actually on the show last week here on the radio show. A great, great guy. Has some fascinating stories. Has been covering MSU football, basketball, MSU women's basketball, and a plethora of other MSU sports for quite some time. I will be sitting down with him tomorrow night at 6 p.m. here at the WKAR-TV studios. You can be a part of that live studio audience each and every week by signing up for free online at WKAR.org. All right, well, let's shift gears really quick in the show. Let's talk a little baseball, yes? And as you heard yesterday on the show, as our two outstanding production assistants on the show who work day in and day out, we have a lot of students who work on the show day in and day out here at Michigan State University. You heard yesterday Max and Alex Teacup's interview with Lynn Henning of the Detroit News, who was a beat writer for the Detroit Tigers. Today, Max and Omar, that's right, they had their podcast and got to talk with the founder of iSports Web, Joe White, who knows all things baseball. Max and Omar got a chance to sit down with Joe and pick his brain about the MLB, and the first question they asked was, hey, what's your top five power rankings in the league right now?
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned power rankings. I mean, we're about 2 weeks deep into the season, so they don't mean a whole lot. You know, if there's some surprising teams, you know, I was just listening to you guys talking about how bad the D-backs have been, how good the Brewers have been, all that kind of stuff. But, man, there's a lot of baseball left. So
Definitely. Generally
when I'm talking MLB power rankings at this time of the year, I'm not deviating too far off from what I had in the preseason. And honestly, one team that I know it sounds, you know, like old news, but I think the Yankees are really good, guys. I think adding Tanaka to that rotation, that guy looks really, really good. They added some serious speed and some bats, getting Brian McCann behind the plate. I honestly think the Yankees are going to win the AL East. I think they may go deep into the playoffs too, which is something they haven't done in quite a while, thanks mostly to the Tigers.
Yeah.
But I think the Tigers are still very good. I think the AL Central is their division to have. I've always liked Oakland. You know, power hitting and clutch pitching tends to play really well over the course of 162 games. I think Washington is right there. You know, I love the 11 games Milwaukee's won, but St. Louis is the best team in that division. And, you know, as far as the NL goes, I had Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals, Pirates, Nationals going to the playoffs. I really like the Giants again this year. They're kind of an every other year team, and based on that trend, you know, they should win the World Series this year. So, and I think the Giants are really good too. But yeah, I mean, those are the teams I like a lot.
As when you say the Giants, it's hard for me to agree with you since they broke our hearts a couple years ago. But I kind of do have them going to the playoffs as well. Just on the next topic, more on the instant replay of baseball. Like, what are your thoughts about instant replay so far this year, and how have things been going with that?
I think it's awesome. I think they've done a great job for a phase one type of implementation of this kind of a system. It's been really good. I've seen a few plays that have not, you know, been challenged and not overturned that have really perplexed me, and they're the same exact play, different games. It was simply a double play type of play up the middle, second baseman transferring the ball from his glove to his throwing hand really quickly. The umpire calls the guy safe, going to the replay. You know, it's clearly in the guy's glove, and he's just making the transfer quickly, and they called him safe, upheld it on the replay. So apparently there's, you know, some interpretation stuff that at least I don't agree with, but in general I think, you know, the speed of the replay has been really good almost every time. You're getting rid of a lot. I mean, I haven't even seen a manager come out and throw a fit yet, and that's, you know, those are usually 3-, 4-, 5-minute time suckers, but they're just gone from baseball right now. So I think the speed's been a good thing. I think the accuracy of the calls should always be paramount. You know, I don't ever want to see it for the strike zone, but I think for the stuff they've used it for, I think it's good. I think it's really good.
Definitely. This is Max talking, Joe. Thanks for coming on. I just wanted to go a little more into instant replay. There's been about 90 challenges or so far this season, and about a third of them have been overturned. What's your thoughts on, as far as you kind of touched on it, the time factor of it and how long it takes for these things to happen?
Yeah, I mean, really, I look at how is it now and what was happening last year. And last year, I mean, how many times could we count Jim Leland coming out of the dugout, doing his thing, walking to one umpire, walking to another umpire, 5 minutes go by before the next pitch is thrown. What I see here is I see the managers coming out, they'll, you know, take a slow walk to the umpire, and by the time they get there, they're looking over their shoulder to see if the replay guy's telling the challenger or not. So that's taking about a minute. And then I think, you know, the replays themselves are, I've seen them as quick as about, you know, 30, 40 seconds. I've seen a few take a couple minutes. But in general, I think the entirety of that process is just a lot quicker now than these managers coming out, making a scene, getting tossed, all that kind of stuff. I kind of miss that a little bit, honestly, because that's a fun part of the game. But, and, you know, I'm sure there'll still be that. But I think, you know, I don't think the speed of the game has slowed down at all. I think it's good.
And just on that, too, with the managers just taking their time, like I've heard that managers are doing that as well to kind of like warm up pitchers in the bullpen. I don't know, like, if you have any thoughts on that, like if you think that's actually right, or do you think that they're going to probably try to look into changing something with that rule?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really delicate situation because ideally, you know, you'd just be able to yank somebody from the bullpen and, you know, he gets his 10 warm-up pitches and he's ready to go. But guys need their proper time to warm up, and every relief pitcher is different. Certainly managers have been using stall tactics. That's nothing new. You know, that's been going on for decades. And short of risking, you know, the arm health of a lot of these pitchers, I don't think there's a lot that can be done about that. You know, they already limit the visits to the mound. You know, I think they could definitely limit the amount of times a catcher can go to the mound. You know, especially in the playoffs, you see a lot of times they're not even putting fingers down behind the plate. They're just going, you know, doing a 2-3 pitch sequence with the pitcher at the mound, and then they come back out when that sequence is over. So I think that's an area that could be addressed, getting the catchers to stay back there. But, yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do without risking the health of the players, I think.
Definitely. Switching gears a little bit, another one of the big rule changes was with home plate collisions. We haven't really seen any big issues with that so far, but so far what you've seen, what's your take on the rule as a whole and what your opinion on it?
Again, I mean, player safety is pretty much paramount in every major, you know, professional sport these days, and I think that was a good move to implement. I've seen, you know, I watched a game a couple of days ago. I honestly can't remember who it was now, but I watched too much baseball, guys. But the play was just a, you know, single to left field. The guy's coming from second to home, easily out at the plate, but the catcher didn't give him a, you know, a pass to the plate, and it was a pretty, you know, I mean, he was easily out, but it was a fairly bang-bang play, and they, you know, they called him safe because the catcher didn't give him a pass, and yeah, I think it's good. I mean, the catchers, those guys are getting hurt enough just taking foul tips, you know, and we see Alex Avila all the time with that kind of stuff, so, you know, again, player safety, it's a good thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You don't want to see Buster Posey miss an entire season because he gets his leg bent in half. I mean, that's just not good for baseball.
And just staying on the topic of sports injuries and just things like that, I mean, I don't know if you have a doctorate by your name or anything, but we just want to know, like, what are your thoughts with all these big-name players early in the year being hurt and not being able to play? Like, for instance, Clayton Kershaw, Matt Moore, Manny Machado, Michael Bourne, Josh Hamilton, just big-name players who mean a lot to their team who are just not just getting hurt and kind of more than I mean, I feel like it's been a little more than usual, especially this past spring training.
Well, you know, I got to be careful about what I say, but, you know, some of these injuries are just pure stupidity. I mean, you've got Yasiel Puig, Josh Hamilton diving headfirst into first base and busting up their thumbs. Dustin Pedroia did the same thing last year. Somehow he played through it. That's just stupid baseball. I mean, come on, guys. You know, you're difference makers on the field, and you're going to dive into first base to try to beat a single that you weren't going to beat anyhow. So, I mean, there's always going to be dumb injuries. These guys should be smarter than that at the major league level. But the concerning stuff is the Tommy John surgeries. There's a ton of guys that have Tommy John surgery this year, and several of them, their second go-around. And that's bad news, man. I could, you know, first time recovery success rate's about 85%, I think. Second time, you know, it's a lot sketchier. So you've got a major concern there, and I think a lot of it, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor, but, you know, I do recognize the expertise of a guy like James Andrews, Dr. James Andrews, who does a bunch of the Tommy John surgeries. And, you know, he thinks, and I feel the same way, that sports are very specialized now. Like, you know, I'm a little bit older than you guys, but even when you and I were growing up, we played baseball in the summer, we played basketball and football in the fall, we played basketball and hockey in the winter, and then we went back to baseball in the summer. You don't see that anymore. You see a lot of specialization. You know, it's like the parents or some coach or somebody decides when the kid's 6 or 7 years old that you're going to be playing baseball. So now these kids are playing baseball year-round. They're you know, I was on a flight not too long ago, and the parents were flying out to this particular group of parents was flying out to Vegas for their 10-year-old, who they say throws 70 miles an hour. And I saw the kid, and he wasn't a big kid. I was like, wow, and they're going to go to Puerto Rico and Disney and Myrtle Beach for all these tournaments. And this was in the wintertime, you know. So the kids don't get any rest. And in general, I think kids, and this is what Dr. James Andrews said, you know, kids are bigger and stronger now, yet they're on their collateral ligament in their elbow, which is the thing that snaps and they have to have a surgery, that is, you know, being outpaced by their physical growth. You got these kids throwing 70 miles an hour when they're 10 years old. First of all, it's ridiculous. I don't know how anybody could do that. Second of all, it's just bad for their body. So, you know, I think parents need to chill out a little bit. I think the coaches need to chill out a little bit, let kids develop. They don't need to be a major league pitcher when they're 12 years old because they can't be, you know. Let them grow up. Let them mature. And, you know, I just think you're going to see more and more and more of this because of how specialized sports are.
There you have that. Totally agree. Again, that's the great Joe White, co-founder of iSports Web. Great job of Max and Omar contributing on that interview. All right, well, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll give a quick preview of tonight's Wings and Bruins Game 3. You don't want to miss any of that. Again, you can call in 517-355-9527. Current Sports returns in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to apologize really quick. I got Bob's name wrong. I always say his last name wrong. Bob Bow is his name. Again, great guy. You can be a part of Current Sports TV's live studio audience tomorrow night as I sit down with Bob Bow, who is the now former editor of the MSU Alumni Magazine. He has done outstanding work with the magazine, and we'll talk about his time covering all things MSU sports and so much more. You don't want to miss that. Sign up to be a part of that live studio audience by going to WKAR.org. All right, fellas, well, about 7 minutes left in the show. And tonight, playoff time for the Wings and Bruins. Game 3 at the Joe, 7:30 p.m. Wings and Bruins get it on. The series is tied 1-1. Guys, I believe, Alex, I believe you had the Bruins winning in 6.
Yeah, I think I had
still
the,
have.
I think I had the Bruins winning in 7.
In seven.
Until
that's
they lose a 7.
That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had Bruins in 7, and Matt, you had Wings in 7, I believe. Wings in 7. Gotcha. Well, it's going to be a fun series now that the series has now shifted to Detroit. Wings should definitely be pleased that this series is 1-1. Be able to steal one in Boston is definitely huge. For me, guys, I'm going to be looking at taking advantage of those, which I harped on last time, taking advantage of those power play opportunities. The Red Wings have scored only one power play goal in 19 chances over the last 5 games overall. So I would like to see them, when those opportunities present themselves, the Wings, to be aggressive in that moment. I believe they only had one shot on goal out of all of those four power play opportunities in the last game. And, you know, it was a really – I don't know if you guys saw this quote from Coach Babcock, but he talked about – Alex, you brought it up, the Smith and Chara incident. And, you know, Babcock was asked, what did he tell Smith after the game, after that incident? And, you know, we talked about it that day about the Wings not getting caught up in so much of the physicality of Boston. Because, to be honest, guys, in game one, I thought the Wings simply won that game on skill. In the second game, I thought Boston kind of punked them out and won it on physicality, if I had to pin it down to one thing. And he brought up the scenario, a pretty cool scenario, of you know, what he told Smith after that incident, and said, are you going to play pool or fight? Now, this is how he broke it down. He said, Smith, you know, when you walk into a bar and you see the really pretty girl who is her boyfriend is the 6'6" muscle-bound guy who probably makes his living fighting. And he said, okay, what are you going to do? And he said on the opposite end, you're the guy who's the best pool player in the room. Are you going to play pool or are you going to fight? And that's what he kind of equated it to. It was a pretty cool scenario, basically saying that, hey, you got to be smart and you got to pick and choose your battles and stick to your game plan.
if the Wings do that, they can be very successful in this series. I still think that I'm still sticking to my guns here. I think Boston still wins it in six, but it's going to be fun now. Now that the Wings are on their home ice, Matt.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the stuff about special teams, and it's not just getting chances on the power play; it's staying out of the penalty box yourself. Because they had 14 right. penalty minutes on Sunday, you know, they let up two power play goals, and that was really the story of the game. They need to have, I would say, if I was going to put a number on it, they need to have under 10 penalty minutes tonight. Got to stay out of the box because Boston does make you pay when they have the extra attacker. Detroit, as far as the power play goes, just get shots. I think the biggest thing, even the I mean, going you can go back 10 years, the biggest problem I have with the Red Wing power play is that it almost seems like they have to be can't-miss, wide-open chances for them to shoot the darn puck.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad can happen if you shoot the puck. You never know what will happen. You don't have to wait for the perfect opportunity. Just get the puck on net.
Right.
Something good will happen. As long as you're shooting the puck, something good can happen.
Right.
The other thing, like you said, don't get caught up in the physical, you know, extracurricular stuff with the Bruins. That's their game. That's how they want to beat you.
Yep.
You know, they don't, you know, come out and outskill you. They just out-tough you. They bully you. I mean, we've called them bullies. Bullies, I mean, are in every headline this week.
right,
you
everywhere.
You can't get caught up in that kind of game. You have to just keep your eye on the scoreboard. That is what matters. If you get a win, you win. If you win a fight and lose the game, you lose.
Right.
The physical machismo battle means nothing if you are losing on the scoreboard.
And it's not the Wings game. They're going to lose
exactly.
if they try to feed into that.
They'll lose it 10 times out of 10.
Right. I agree.
Have to keep focus on what's actually important, and that's the scoreboard.
Alex.
Only thing I would say is I wouldn't back down physically. I just wouldn't push it too far.
You got to pick and choose
the
battles.
I like them roughing and giving some checks here and there. I actually, you know what? I like the fact that they're in the penalty box, to be honest with you. I think that's playing with them and kind of challenging Boston to see how they react. And I wouldn't be surprised if Boston retaliates and the Red Wings get more power play opportunities. I think that could work out. But what I would say, what I agree with Matt, is don't get to their level of bullying. Play physical, rough them up, but don't be bullying with them. Don't challenge the guy at the pool, the guy that's playing pool with the beautiful girl. So that's what I would say. And the other thing,
right.
You have something to add?
Well, I guess just the thing in hockey is it's always the second guy who gets caught.
Right.
You know, somebody, you know, if a Bruins player takes a shot at you and you retaliate, you're going to be the one going to the box, not him. So I think that's the big thing. You got to be physical.
Yeah, you got to be physical.
But you got to
be
smarter first and foremost.
Right. I agree with that too. Yeah.
And my second point is just playing smarter and no turnover. That's the thing. They have to be so perfect against this team because any mishaps, like we saw from Howard, whoever's fault it was, that's going to cost them. So that's what I would say for the Wings in this game tonight. So.
Excited. 7:30 p.m. puck drop tonight. Also want to note before we leave the air that a person familiar with the whole Ndamukong Suh, you know, camp situation says that Ndamukong Suh will not attend the Detroit Lions voluntary minicamp this week. Now, the person who says Suh will attend the team's voluntary workouts in May and mandatory minicamp next month spoke Monday night to the AP on condition of anonymity because Suh has not announced his plans. Interesting stuff. I wonder if Suh is going to come back. Huh, we'll see. All right, well, thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic Tuesday, and be easy, people.